First of all, let me say that this is just a fantastic recording. I was so excited when I saw that they were going to release this because there are not that many recordings of the Busoni Piano Concerto, and it just flies by. I know it's a 70-minute concerto, but listening to this, I can hear all of the joy and enthusiasm that you have for this work poured out on the recording. It's just a pleasure to listen to.
Thank you. Well, and, you know, as a... I think I'm particularly happy that it's a live recording. So these concerts, as you know, were in Boston with the Boston Symphony, and I've wanted to be engaged and you know interpret this piece for a long time. And after the concerts in Boston, there was discussion. Well, you know, how do we record this piece and to go into the studio with a 70-minute concerto is basically an unrealistic proposition nowadays, and possibly you know possibly ever, and so while deliberating that I went back and I heard the concert recording, and then suddenly we all said, well, actually this has all the concert excitement and adrenaline, and it turned out to be also very precise. And so we felt that actually this was the best idea to release it this way. And it's of course the first time the Boston Symphony played this piece, in fact, ever in concert, and to have a major American orchestra playing this piece is a special thing. Zachary Ormo is a wonderful musician and conductor, and he has conducted the Busoni Concerto before as well. And so this constellation just seemed ideal.
Yeah. Let's go back, and for people who are not familiar with Busoni, I know, for instance, I mean, there are a few pieces that we play on the radio. I have played excerpts from other recordings of this Busoni Concerto before, but, you know, you're tempting me to put the whole thing on, and I probably will. Can we put Busoni in context for your casual classical listener who knows people like Franz Liszt and Wagner and Beethoven?
Absolutely. Let's try, but I think actually one of the reasons why people may be still not as familiar with Busoni as he certainly deserves to be is the sheer scope of his activities as an artist. So let's outline those. Certainly, an easy starting point would be to say that with very little doubt, he was one of the three greatest pianists to ever touch the instrument. You named Franz Liszt and perhaps Anton Rubinstein, and Ferruccio Busoni are this triumvirate of relatively undisputed greatest pianists of all time. So that's the easy part. He was an incredibly influential piano mentor and a very important composer with different phases in his creative output. And you could say that the Piano Concerto is the culmination of sort of his late Romantic period. And the Piano Concerto in some way summarizes sort of everything about the Piano Concerto until the end of 19th century and builds on that. And then Busoni had a more experimental phase, and his late works are very much pointing to the future. And that brings us to his influence as as a thinker and philosopher of music and a mentor to many key figures of the 20th century music. So Sibelius counted him as his mentor for over 25 years. Schoenberg was very influenced by his ideas. Then people like Edgar Varèse or Otto Luening, the early pioneers of electronic music, because in his philosophical writings on music, Busoni predicts electronic music, the use of scales that are non-traditional Western ones, micro-tuning, so dividing the octave into more notes than the usual Western division of 12 notes. So, and he stood in the early 20th century, so until 1924 when he died, sort of as a central figure, not just for musicians, but for artists, people like Kandinsky, you know, wrote to him with great admiration, Stravinsky. And so really a figure that summarized much of the 19th century as far as, you know, piano playing and composing relates, and also influenced much of the aesthetic of the 20th century music, and not limited to piano. And then maybe in a sense being a writer, a teacher, a pianist, a composer, a thinker, it's difficult to appreciate him as a whole and not in in small portions. And unfortunately, the portion that people usually know is the whole Bach dash Busoni, so the Bach transcriptions, which are lovely, but that's something he did in his 20s. And then there's, you know, the rest of his life that that was absolutely an incredible accomplishment artistically.
It's interesting, the names that you mentioned of people who count Busoni as sort of a mentor or at least an influence, that they're all very different in their own way, which I think speaks to the incredible umbrella, you know, that Busoni held over, as you say, the 19th and 20th century of composers and performers.
Exactly. And maybe one other thing that I didn't name, he also conducted, and he was really an active champion of new music, not only of his compositions, but it's striking to think that he had spent his own money for a number of years hiring the Berlin Philharmonic and putting on concerts of modern music in Berlin. And those were the first opportunities for Debussy's music to be heard in Berlin, for some early Richard Strauss pieces, for Béla Bartók's first outings as a composer in Berlin, Germany, Elgar, Delius, Sibelius. So even that activity in itself is already so important. And that's just a small part of his life.
You talk about Busoni, of course, as if you know an awful lot about Busoni, and I'm sure you do, because you've been studying him and living with this music for a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about your work in studying and reading Busoni?
Yeah, somehow it's, because the figure is obviously so striking, but it actually, my fascination with him goes back to when I was about 10 years old, and my teacher at the time in the Soviet Union gave me a book in Russian on Busoni's life, music, and piano playing. And in fact, at the time, there were not that many books in any language about, full books about Busoni. And there was and is a very good one in Russian. And I remember reading that, and even before hearing a note of his music, just being absolutely fascinated and drawn to this, I think, magnetic personality, and then the fascination continued. First, I think, more with his pianistic ideas and with these, you know, Bach arrangements. And then when I came to Boston when I was 14, as you know, when I came to study at Berkeley, I remember going to the library and finally looking up this Busoni piano concerto that I had read about. So, and then hearing the recording with John Ogden, the early recording of the piece. And And then it continued, and then I've played a lot of his solo works. I've played his grand Fantasia Contrapuntistica for two pianos with Andras Schiff, and I played his second violin sonata, and so on and so forth. And so I knew or hoped that the day would come when I would do the concerto, and I'm thrilled that that happened, that it happened in Boston with the great BSO, and that it's now on out as a recording, and as you probably have received a physical copy of the recording, I'm very proud that we have a very extensive, an 88-page booklet that accompanies the recording, so one page per key, so to say. And the idea being that, as you said, the general listening public may not be as familiar with Busoni as you and I think they will be. And so there's two articles that were written specifically for this release, one about the piano concerto specifically and one about Busoni's activities generally, and some illustrations and photographs that have never been printed until now that come from the Busoni archive that's housed in Berlin at the State Library.
Yeah, and you can see he was a very talented artist, or at least caricaturist, in those drawings.
Yes, there are some very gifted drawings of his. And let's not forget that he is also an eloquent and prolific letter writer. Just in the years that he was in exile in Zurich during the First World War, because for the Germans he was Italian, for the Italians he was German, and that was a bit of a, so this dichotomy was also a tragedy in his life. But just in that period of 4 years, he had written 5,000 letters.
Let's talk about the music itself. This is a piano concerto in five different movements, all of them very different in their own way, but you hear echoes of many of these wonderful pianist composers, people like Franz Liszt. And the concerto itself has such a level of unpredictability and a sense of humor. And listening to it, it's always delightful. Because I sort of know it, but every time I listen to it, it seems fresh and interesting.
It's a big world, that concerto. But to give our listeners a bit of an outline, so Busoni himself said, so the concerto is in five movements, and the first, third, and fifth movement are of a more serious nature and are, so he compared it to, so buildings or architectural constructions. And the first movement is, the whole concerto, in fact, and that's another thing to mention, that the whole concerto is really a symphony. Think of a Mahler-like symphony, but with an Italian flavor to it. And so the piano is Busoni himself, and the piano is commenting on all these symphonic proceedings. And so the first movement is this symphonic opening movement. The third movement is the center of gravity of the piece. It's called Pezzo Serioso. So this is the serious movement. And somebody, I think, aptly said that this is the kind of music Liszt would have been writing had he lived into the early 20th century. So this is very late Romantic. And the second and fourth movement are the more living movements, as Busoni said, so more vegetation than a building. And both have a lot of Italian popular themes. And in that sense, it's also close to Mahler, who would use sort of the Czech and Bohemian and Jewish folklore in his music. And so Busoni uses the Italian theme, sometimes turned in a very sarcastic way, commenting on his dual heritage as a German-Italian composer. And finally, the whole thing is concluded by the fifth movement, which is with a male choir singing praise to to essentially to nature and to the miracles of nature and sound, and that kind of brings the piece to completes the circle.
Such interesting music, and the men's chorus that kind of comes out of nowhere at the end in that last movement is a really interesting touch to the concerto.
Yeah.
I still have the tarantella in my head because I listened to the recording this morning, and it just
yeah, the tarantella is one of the most orgiastic
yeah.
pieces of music, certainly for piano and orchestra. And he said he wrote to his wife, I think he said the tarantella will be a portrait of Napoli, of the city, but cleaner.
Pianist Kiro Gerstein, who is a Toledo favorite. You've been here many times. I think you made your debut over a decade ago here.
I think so. By now, yes.
Well, it's a wonderful recording. The Piano Concerto of Ferruccio Busoni, that's from Mirio's Classics. We'll link to all the social media on our website. And again, such a pleasure to listen to this, and I can't wait to share it with our listeners.
Thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you as always.